We're going to go to the Transport Committee today, where SIPTU were in talking about antisocial behaviour on transport, and they had a range of solutions in their view that they were calling for. Here's Adrian Kane. He is a spokesperson. He's a transport divisional organiser for SIPTU, speaking to the committee earlier.
Just very quickly, 80% believe illegal drug use has got worse in the last 12 months. 75% of respondents either several times a month or more frequently witness illegal drug use, 20% on a daily basis, 50% witness drug dealing 2 to 4 times a month or more frequently, 73% have felt threatened or unsafe due to use of drugs on their vehicles or trains, etc. And 3/4 of people of colour or from ethnic backgrounds, minority backgrounds, have faced discrimination or harassment. That 3/4 of that tends to be verbal abuse, 32% of it physical, and 70% of those respondents said it was on a monthly or a more frequent basis. So it's pretty bad.
To you first, Ashley. I should have said, of course, that Adrian Kane was going through the findings of a SIPTU survey. But what did we hear from them at the Transport Committee today?
Yes, indeed. So representatives from SIPTU, we had bus drivers, Lewis drivers, Irish rail workers in front of the Transport Committee today. And as you say, they were there because SIPTU recently released a survey of transport workers, which detailed some of those findings that Mr. Kane was going through there. And just to kind of give it an overview, he was very much talking about those the findings that they had from the 600 respondents of the survey in relation to, I suppose, some of that antisocial behaviour in relation to drug use. But actually, I suppose, overall, I suppose, taking maybe a bird's eye view of the survey, over 80% of the respondents said that they had experienced abuse at work. So these are transport workers, and 80% of the 600 people who were surveyed said that they had experienced abuse at work. I think if you were in any other profession and they did a survey of a good chunk of you and 80% were saying we experience abuse, it would be quite a serious thing. And of course, these are frontline workers. They deal with the public. They're client facing, if you want to say it like that. They don't work with anyone else. They're a bus driver in their cab. They experience this every day. One of the very interesting, personal testimony from the committee was from a bus driver called Suzanne Armstrong, who was talking about, you know, she's a bus driver for nearly a decade, I think, and she was talking about how there's open drug use on the buses that they are driving. In particular, upstairs in double-decker buses, there's kind of, you know, they're kind of out of sight in a way. And she said one day she was driving over a speed bump or a bump, and she could hear the users upstairs that their drugs had gone everywhere over the floor, and they were kind of shouting and screaming about this. And she said she was petrified that they'd come down and take it up with her. And actually one of them did come down, and they were kind of rooting around the back of their trousers. And she was like, oh my God, they have a gun, like they're going to shoot me. Can you imagine in any other profession to be, you know, having those kind of, that kind of terror in your work? So that was one of the kind of anecdotes, or I suppose, was personal testimony we heard today. We also heard from a Lewis driver. He said he's been working as a Lewis driver for 20 years. He said that, you know, he finds that young people kind of can find they're untouchable because there's no powers for the security workers who work on the Lewis. You know, you often see them, people, even I was on a regional train up from Cork.
Private security firm.
Security firm. I was on a regional train up from Cork at the weekend, and actually two of them did come through the carriage, and I was like, oh, that's interesting. But at the same time, we're now hearing from these workers that they have no power, that essentially that they kind of act as some sort of a deterrent, but really they're just a ticket checker in different clothing, and that what we really need is Gardaí on, actual Gardaí on the transport and public transport network.
John, what did SIPTU say they wanted in terms of
interestingly,
solutions to this?
Yeah, so they talked about they want transport police, a dedicated Garda transport police service. And actually Micheál Martin, the Taoiseach, spoke about this at his Ordesh at the weekend, saying that they were going to move towards creating something like this, and what SIPTU want is like a division within the Gardaí that is assigned to public transport, and that they have actual powers of arrest, they have actual powers of authority over people, and that's the only way, that's the only deterrent that could work. At right now they're talking about there being no deterrence, and I suppose as well, you know, John Murphy, very interestingly, he's the transport sector organiser with SIPTU, and he said that there should be a bar on passengers who are repeat offenders. And he said, we know these people, we see them coming like in different sections, different streets, let's say for a bus, different platforms or stations, let's say for Irish Rail. that they're coming again and again. They're always causing havoc. There's always engaging antisocial behaviour, but they've no power to kind of put a bar on right. them, a barring order
and,
in a way.
And who would enforce that?
Exactly.
Duncan Smith, going back to 2022 and earlier, I think back in 2018 as well. I mean, the government has said before it's an operational matter for the Gardaí to set up a dedicated unit to police public transport. And earlier, I think the Taoiseach Leo Varadkar said he wasn't minded to set up a separate transport police, that the preference seems to be see it as a unit within the Gardaí. What's your view?
I've always wanted to see it as a unit within the Gardaí. I think what SIPTU said today was that was their preference too. Although they didn't want to be too prescriptive, they said if there was a dedicated transport police under one statutory body, and they cited maybe the airport police as a kind of a model as a police service that kind of works in one particular area, but that it wouldn't be a security service per public transport group, like would be Dublin Bus Service or Bus Éireann Service or that. And what was very interesting was the Lewis driver, as Aisling said, that their security service isn't working. It's not working. Where I've had people say to me over the years, who I represent a constituency that doesn't have a Lewis, but they'd say, look, we want that Lewis system. We'd love to see a type of security system that exists on the Lewis. I've never been in favour of that. And it was interesting to hear that the Lewis drivers themselves feel that that's not working. But I think what's important about this survey is this is the first piece of substantial work that's been done that gathers together all the anecdotal evidence we've all either experienced ourselves or picked up and joins together maybe the more high-profile instances, terrible instances we've seen, such as the Dublin riots and that kind of thing, the stuff that might make the news, to say that there is an issue with antisocial behaviour on public transport. We need a solution for it. We need to see a policing, because there's an awful lot of good stuff happening in public transport. More people are using it. We need more people to use it into the future. Fares are going down, in fairness, which is encouraging use. So public transport is the future in terms of reducing congestion.
Right. But
the experience was what you're saying.
The experience needs to be made safe in order to capitalise on the critical.
But it has to be a policing unit within the. It's been battered from the guards back to government to the NTA. I think this piece of work by SIPTU has the opportunity to be a tipping point towards, I think, some unified direction in terms of delivering some form of transport police down the line. It has to go that way.
Mary Siri Kearney, the other thing the survey said is that 55% of respondents of the 600 people that were asked, these are all transport workers, said it was worse in the last 12 months. So just looking back at the remarks, the commissioner from August 2022, which is about a year and a half, just a little over a year and a half ago at this stage, he said that they were not looking at a specific transport unit. It's not being considered at this time. He said in August 2022, we're managing this through specific operations. But if things have worsened considerably since then, would you like to see the commissioner maybe reconsider that?
I absolutely would. I don't believe it's correct. I think we need to know that going on public transport, if people are making that decision to come out of their cars and we're desperate to encourage them to do that, then people travelling, you know, women travelling on their own, families travelling on any sort of public transport need to know that it's going to be safe. You know, it's quite some time since I was practising down in the forecourts, but I often took, you know, that red Lewis line, and it was a frightening experience on occasion. And I thought, well, maybe I'm uber sensitive, or, you know, maybe, you know, you start doubting yourself and thinking, well, maybe this is just whatever. But there were times that I got off the Lewis when I experienced that maybe we were running down, there was a smaller number of us in the carriage. And so it was better to get off.
This
and
is
get
in response
taxi.
To antisocial behaviour.
No, this is going back a number of years ago.
I know what you're talking about. Getting off the Lewis in response to antisocial behaviour.
In response to
antisocial behaviour. You didn't feel safe.
No, I didn't feel safe. And so, and I mean, I'd be robust enough, but I mean, we need an actual transport police. Every other major city has.
And would it make you nervous? Did it make you nervous, you know, after that, going on public, do you feel safe on public transport?
Well, I don't usually travel on public transport. I either cycle or take my car are the two ways I go. But, you know, I each year I think, okay, my daughter goes into school in town. We should be bringing her in on the bus. We should be doing this as the improvements in public transport happens and the reliability of buses. But, you know, this is not a good example that you have. I congratulate SIPTU for gathering all the evidence because it needed that strong voice to come back against the fact that Drew Harris was emphatic last year that he wouldn't. I think at the time when Simon Harris was in the position of Minister for Justice, they set up this idea of the Gardaí in these transport hubs. But that isn't the same as putting Gardaí actually on carriages. I was at a meeting of Drugs Task Force this morning, and they were talking about how the Gardaí are so incredibly responsive, and there is where there are hotspots of drug dealing in the community, that actually they're very, very effective at closing that down. But that means that it goes somewhere else. And today's
so if public transport is a hotspot,
is it moving to public transport as a hotspot? And if that's the case, then we absolutely need the Gardaí there. We need a power on the buses and on the Lewis that can arrest and that can deal with
Nasa Harrigan, obviously. Your party is keenly in favour of more people taking public transport. You see a finding like that from SIPTU over of 600 transport workers. What can be done about it?
Well, I mean, it is a very serious finding. I actually put some of those issues to Minister Ryan a couple of weeks ago, particularly around, you know, some of those asks around having a transport stakeholder forum, because we are dealing with a huge...
Just explain what that would be.
So, look, it's been on the books for a number of years and it's never been commenced. And it would be, you know, your Dublin Bus, your Busair and your Rail... coming together with entities like the Gardaí and with the minister and the department.
Who'd represent passengers?
Well, there are groups currently that represent passengers. We have groups like the Commuters Coalition, who I have to say are very active. And I think the issue is that we have so many deliverers of service in the transport sector. I mean, I remember, I think it was around 2017, we did a count and it was in Dublin alone around 50 different companies that were or organisations that were providing. I think the transparency that a forum might give would be very important. But I have to say, I do disagree about this idea that somehow it has to be the guards and it has to be an operational matter for the Gardaí. I think, first of all, it requires political will and it requires funding. So and the Gardaí aren't going to do anything unless they are given standalone funding to create a force like that.
So a separate transport police would be in
favour. I don't think
that
we should all just take it as read that it should be a unit within the Gardaí. I think they're already an organisation that are dealing with a lot. Personally, when we saw last week, for example, this 30 minutes on the roads for roads policing, that sounded great. But actually, to me, representing an inner city area where antisocial behaviour is very problematic on public transport, but it's also a function of antisocial behaviour in the whole city. I'm very wary of, you know, pushing Gardaí onto transport or onto like 30 minutes of roads
policing.
So
what would you like to say? Because, I mean, look, a train carriage, a bus, a Lewis carriage are small environments. It's easy to intimidate people, but it's also relatively easy, if they were to be policed, to control the environment within that carriage. Hmm. So what are you calling for? What do you want?
So unlike the roads policing, where I was saying, you know, this should all be automated, really. This should be cameras. This should be that kind of... I actually think you need human beings on a bus or on a Lewis. I think that's what makes people feel safe. I'm not saying that they should not be a unit under the Gardaí. I'm just saying I don't see that we should take that as read. I think you do need people who have the powers to detain somebody and have the power to go into a courtroom and make statements on that. But I do think that we also need to be careful of this rush to kind of saber rattling and law and order. Like, really what will work is community policing, and it's the Gardaí and it's whoever, whether they be transport police, who know the people who, as you said, who know the people who are the problem and who have like that kind of built up knowledge on the ground. Right. And then you pair that with community resources, with diversion services. I know, those are the things that
work. That is the holistic approach. With people, you know, in 1 year, 55% of respondents say it's got worse on transport. So what you're talking about is a longer term solution, but some of the symptoms surely need to be addressed as well, do they, on board the public transport?
Well, I'm not suggesting that we don't police that and that we don't support, and certainly I have been down in Dublin Bus not too long ago. They let me have a go at driving a bus, in fact, and they're very serious about, for example, attracting more women into the service. So we do have to get serious about that issue of policing on transport, but it's more complicated than just
that.
What's
your own experience in public transport? Do you feel safe on public
transport? Well, I use public transport to get everywhere, so I'm very lucky that I am on a Lewis line. I actually got the Lewis and the bus today because I went across town. It was easier to get the bus back. I have had some bad experiences, but for the most part, it's mostly good. And certainly when Minister Ryan was talking to me, he was quoting numbers at me of all the thousands of journeys that happen without incident. And I take that point too.
I would say, though, that even like the users of public transport, probably we don't actually see it because sometimes we are fleetingly on it maybe for 15 minutes. And then it is the bus driver or whoever who's on it for the entire route. And I also think, just to your point there about the it maybe not being the Gardaí, and I appreciate that point, but I'd kind of question, how do you give the same or another, as you were saying, maybe a function of a body, the same type of powers that is the same deterrent? I think that would be that, like what SIP2 were saying, is like it really needs a strong deterrent. But then also, like with your own community, like I'm from Waterford and like we wouldn't have a huge amount of public transport. So like the Garda resources in Waterford, like there's, you know, your community has all the public transport. So you wouldn't like to see the communities that have all the public transport have that Garda resource taken away because they have to hop on a bus and, you know, do it in line with their whole policing. And I think maybe the whole section off of having a Garda force going, you know, maybe manages that better without taking the resource away from, as you say, on the streets as antisocial behaviour as well.
All right, Duncan Smith.
Yeah, I think just SIP2, just to reiterate, we're clear their preferences for a unit within the Gardaí. And I think what Nasser was saying in terms of strong community policing, I think if you have
that's the political preference as well. But I mean, as I say, the last time the Garda commissioner was asked about this, he said a specific transport unit is not being considered at this time.
Okay, just to finish my point, if it was a unit of the Gardaí, you would have those synergies with the community policing element, you would hope, and other elements of the Gardaí and all the rest. But SIP2 did say that, you know, they're not being overly prescriptive. If it was, as long as it's uniformed, is under one statutory body and has arresting powers, that's what they want. They don't want private security companies hired by individual transport companies patrolling, you know, carriages and bus rails, because they're not a deterrent and it's not the way to go. So again, they're not being overly prescriptive, but we think that this is a chance to bring the conversation further, maybe go back to the guards. The stakeholder forum, I think it's been on the statute books since 2008, and maybe there's an opportunity to bring that forward. It's another ask from SIP2 as well. So, you know, this is a positive. There is an awful lot of good things happening in public transport, and SIP2 were clear in saying that this isn't about changing the narrative of public transport, but it's to acknowledge that there are instances
that need to be tackled. What's your own experience of public transport? Have you ever witnessed antisocial behaviour on it?
Yeah, I have, but I have generally positive experiences on public transport. I would get the bus from my own town, North County Dublin. We don't have a rail link. Generally positive buses to town. My parents live out in another area. So, yeah, generally positive. But I have witnessed, like I'd have the anecdotal stories like many would. But by and large, I don't feel unsafe getting on public transport. But again, I'm also very much aware of my own kind of privilege and position as well, that I maybe wouldn't be targeted. I know if you look at the In Her Shoes report that was released a couple of years ago in terms of women using public transport in around Dublin, there's issues there. That was referenced around the debate on this report. From
is that a SIP2 badge you're wearing, by the
people,
way?
It supports the campaign, the Respect Transport Workers campaign, which
you're not a member of it, are you? Of SIP2.
I am a member of SIP2.
Oh, you are a member of SIP2.
Yeah, I am a member of SIP2, yeah.
I think what SIP2 are doing, and they're dead right, is they're looking for urgent action now. And if I was them and I was looking for urgent action right this moment to help the people that I represent, I would be saying, well, what's the quickest line here to action? And that's to go and ask for something within the Gardaí. And if we go outside that and do something new that we've never done before, it might be a longer process. But I don't see that there's any reason not to.
What about Mary Siri Carney? The problem, the worry is, for the vast majority of people who take public transport, it's how they get in and out to do their shop and do their work, bring their kids to school and everything else. Antisocial behaviour on public transport can sometimes result in drivers feeling unsafe and not travelling to certain areas as a result of that. And there was some of the survey findings in SIP2 today included in that Universities, University College Dublin up the road here, they periodically suspended services, they said, to that as a result of antisocial behaviour. So it's having a real effect on people who have nothing to do with the antisocial behaviour.
Absolutely. And there are whole communities that are denied service where the buses won't go into those communities because of the antisocial behaviour and the fact that the buses are being attacked. So there is a real life consequences for the people who are reliant on that public transport. And I just wonder, I did watch the clip of your question, Nessa, of the minister, and I know he gave a very fulsome and wholesome answer. However, his statistics, I wondered afterwards, when he talks about all of the positive public journeys, then I wondered, that includes a lot of areas where perhaps there wouldn't be the same issues, there wouldn't be there wouldn't be the same level of antisocial behaviour. And so actually we could probably narrow it down to where the focus of the Gardaí would need to be. Right. And there's no reason why a Gardaí wouldn't walk onto a bus, or if there is currently an impediment as to why the Gardaí would go onto a bus, if there's some jurisdictional issue or whatever of going into a bus, I don't see why there would be. But if there was something like that, then that needs to be removed and we need to examine that as a matter of urgency.
This survey is highlighting serious allegations of criminal behaviour that's putting people at real risk in their workplace, and clear and at least anecdotal evidence of serious breaches of legislation on drugs as well. Is it good enough for the Garda Commissioner to say
no, it isn't
for the moment?
I don't think it is at all. I think that he may look at it and go, we need to have a greater numbers within the Garda force, and that perhaps he has a critical number that once we hit the 15,000 or we're heading towards the 18,000, then you can designate a particular route. But actually, there needs to be a response to it now, in the here and now.
It should be said, Nessa Hourigan, that travelling on public transport, myself, when I worked different hours, I was a regular user of public transport, and it wasn't unusual at night time, at least, to see guards on the Dublin Euston Station Port Leash line getting on and off the train at various stations and making spot checks or responding to calls from drivers.
Well, certainly, I don't see many guards now, I'll be honest. I do see the security firms, because I would mostly be using the Lewis and Dublin bus. I have rarely seen a Garda. I have to say, though, I don't think this should be an operational matter for the Commissioner. I don't think this should be for him to choose. I completely respect and accept that we need more Gardaí, and there could be a capacity issue.
Well, I suppose, how could it not be if it's to be done from within the Guards?
Well, this is it. And that's why I suppose I'm calling into question, why should it be? But certainly, look, if you wanted to get past that issue, if you wanted it to be within the Guards, there's nothing to stop us as the government, saying we're going to give you extra money and extra funding to do that. Right. And to take on new guards specifically who are transport.
Right. I mean, we can't yield to the idea that there's no-go area that for public transport to go into, or that there's no-go area on buses, which was an implication of today's report, is that there are going to be women are drivers who won't be able to drive at particular times of night, who don't feel able to do that. My sister-in-law was a bus driver with Dublin Bus for years, and I mean, her stories were of concern for people on board who maybe had too much to drink, and she often drove a woman home to her house to make sure a young girl got home safely. But that level of intimidation a few years ago wasn't existent. Right. But what was described today is horrific.
Duncan Smith, the issue though is that SIPTU's report today, there will be a fuss created about it. It will create headlines and people will question, why aren't Gardaí be devoted to that? Until there's an incident of antisocial behaviour and, say, the shopkeepers come forward and they say, we need more Gardaí patrolling in the city centre. Until somebody comes and says, rural crime is a problem, we need more visible Gardaí in rural communities. So Gardaí could be recruited, but ultimately the Garda Commissioner has to respond to where the worst crime is and make the hard choices as to where to deploy Garda resources, no?
Yeah, look, indeed. I don't think anyone's denying that, in terms of transport, there's a distinct set of challenges here as well that require a distinct set of solutions that we have in other jurisdictions and in other countries. And, you know, there's a vulnerability as well in terms of transport, if an incident happens, be it on the upper deck of a bus carriage or, a lonely, unstaffed rail station at night, that, does require, we believe, and I think this report attests to, a distinct guard response. But look, it is very easy for politicians of all colours to just say, it's a guard response, it's a guard response, it's a guard response. And I'm conscious that I do support this and I support what the SIP2 have called for. But, we're not asking for an invention of something new here. We're asking for something that's happening in many other jurisdictions. We want public transport to be successful. We want to entice more workers and more diverse workers as well, which is an aim of all the transport companies. And this is an impediment to that. And that came through as well. All right. All of them have recruitment campaigns and they're struggling to get staff.
Okay.